Welcome in the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman, and on today's podcast and what we're launching now for now and hopefully the rest of the Pacers season, there's going to be a co-host. So my co-host is going to be Tony East. So you can follow Tony East. Tony, why don't you give everybody out there your Twitter handle?
What's up, guys? You can find me on Twitter at TEastMBA. I just recently changed it from my middle school Twitter handle, so it's much easier to find me now.
Yeah, it used to be, what, Super Duper Tone?
Super Duper Tone.
Yeah, I have... it's an interesting handle, let's put it that way.
I'm glad it's gone.
So, basically, what we're going to do now, me and Tony are going to host basically a weekly podcast throughout the rest of the season on the Locked On Podcast Network. And then when the season starts, Tony might have his own solo podcast a couple times, once every few weeks, and then we're going to do some daily updates and everyday podcasts. So that's sort of the plan right now. We'll keep updating you more on it. Obviously, the season is still a ways away, almost 2 months, so beginning kind of the boring time. So on our first podcast today, it was interesting, but like I said, the Pacers stuff was getting kind of boring, and you can kind of hear it in our voice. I think we did a great job with the podcast because it was really funny, so I think you'll really enjoy it. But like I said, if it feels like we're talking in circles sometimes, it's because it's hit that time of year. But
we talk a lot about cereal.
Yes.
If you like cereal, you'll be excited.
Yeah, that was a really good job. We also talked about Nate McMillan a little bit, Kevin Pritchard. We hit every topic, and we hope each week not to do the same topics because right now there's not a lot of news breaking right now. But I promise it was a funny one, and you'll really enjoy it, especially the cereal one. Because I'm a big cereal fan, so if you are, you'll like that one. So before we get to this podcast, I want to just introduce Tony to everybody out there. I had him on my podcast a couple weeks ago on this podcast that is now our podcast, I guess. But he did a really good job, and he's just a really interesting guy. He's got some great opinions, so. Tony, you want to just give a quick introduction on what you are and what you do?
Yeah, I'm an Indianapolis resident and a big basketball fan, and I write for 8.9 seconds in my free time. I just like basketball a lot, and I'm that annoying cap guy who knows all the intricacies that drive other people crazy on Twitter. But I've been an NBA fan for quite a bit of time now, and I'm really excited to talk to you guys every week.
He is one of the best cap guys. When I do my research for CapWise, in the last article I did one on Indy Cornrows, I use a lot of his information on the cap to be able to write my story because he's just really good about that stuff. Like, he was showing me his little Excel sheet with the cap stuff before, and he's got a great breakdown of it. And so he's also a great follow, so you should follow him on Twitter. Also, we just created a Twitter for our podcast. It is LockedOn_Pacers.
Yep.
And so go ahead and follow that. Take out your phone right now. If you're driving your car right now, don't get your phone and get in an accident. But when you get home, you should follow us on LockedOn_Pacers. We're trying to blow that up. It's going to be a funny Twitter. Me and Tony are both going to be running it. It'll just be a good time. It'll be kind of funny. So
I have a lot of puns coming for you guys.
Yeah, especially once the season gets going. Like I said, it's going to be a really great channel to be involved in listening-wise because it's going to be some really good information. You're going to get on the Pacers. You'll get some funny stuff. Especially if the season's going to go, I think it's going to go, which you'll find out in the upcoming podcast, our views on the upcoming season. So we'll see how it goes. For now, take a quick break, and then we're going to get to the beginning of the podcast. Presenting sponsor of the Locked On Pacers podcast is SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the number one ticket aggregating site around. Tony, have you ever used SeatGeek before?
I've never used SeatGeek.
Well, you know what? You should use SeatGeek, and I'm going to tell you why. For three simple things. One, it has this great feature where it shows you the value of your ticket. So it gives like this little dot from red to yellow to big green if you're getting a good value in your ticket. So it knows like the price of the ticket they paid face value for it and tells you whether you're getting the right deal on it. Second reason, it puts the fees in the price. So you're not going to be clicking and figuring out that you know, if you've been on some of these other sites, I'm not going to give them names, but you click, go to your checkout, and all of a sudden you have to pay 30 extra bucks to pay handling fees or whatever. So it puts the fees right in for you, and it's awesome. The third reason is that you can find almost any event, sports, concert-wise, around. It's one of the best sites. I use it. I've used it for Pacer tickets in the past, for Reds tickets in the past. I'm going to use it actually coming up. I'm going to use it tonight to buy tickets to the Kendrick Lamar concert next weekend in Chicago. It's a great site. And when you use the site, you should use the promo code LOMBA to get a discount on those tickets. Again, the promo code is LOMBA. SeatGeek is the presenting sponsor of the Locked On Pacers podcast. And now back today's podcast.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What your thoughts are on tanking? before I ask you what a success is.
It only worked once ever.
So what's the one time ever?
The Sixers are the only team that got away with tanking, and it's because they did it for like forever. So, it usually doesn't work.
Okay, so is tanking, you think, a long-term thing? Or is like, so I would say the Spurs succeeded because they tanked 1 year and they got Duncan.
Tim Duncan.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's tanking in some sense.
Yeah, I guess.
Cavaliers did the same kind of thing.
I feel like tanking is not like, you don't spend the whole season tanking. Like, you get to 50 games and you're like, shit, we're bad. And then you like the Suns tanked last year. Like, after 50-odd games, Eric Bledsoe was injured.
Like, yeah, Lakers did the same thing.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. The Lakers, like, Luol Deng can't play anymore. Yeah. Like, that is tanking. Like, the whole season, like, Pacers are going to try. They're not going to be tanking. But I would consider tanking a success.
So then before we, okay, so that's what I was going to ask, that's where I'm going with this. Is tanking success? So, like, I had, like, two scenarios for the Pacers having a success season. So one is they win, like, 35, 40 games.
Get the eight seed.
Maybe, I mean, I guess 8 seed. That's maybe the playoffs should be a success, I guess, right? Even if they're the 9 seed, it doesn't mean anything. But then I'm thinking if Turner has a good season, another way. So if Turner, say, puts up 20 points a game, 8 rebounds, something like that, that's a success in its own way. If Oladipo comes off as maybe looking like a half-decent, competent player, you know, at least it looks like not such a bad trade, and then either maybe one of Sabonis and Leaf look like they show some potential, that's a success.
We'll definitely have 3 future starters on the team.
Who are the 3 future starters?
Any combo of Turner, Oladipo, Leaf, Sabonis.
Okay, so that's
Robinson,
so that's
anyone shows that's, today will be a starter. Yeah.
Okay, and then my last thing was just that if Robinson makes some improvement to look like he can become, like, basically by the end of the season, if he's playing the crunch time small forward minutes, that would be a success.
Maybe not starting, but finishing.
Finishing, yeah. I think starting also is, like, the Warriors, like I said, they don't start Andre Iguodala, but he's their small forward.
Yeah,
you wouldn't say whoever they start as small forward is their starting small forward.
Kevin Durant, yeah, you would.
Well, now you would. So I'm going back before
exactly.
Kevin Durant's season.
Exactly.
Yes. So that's one scenario. So how would you? So let's go on the winning scenario. How would you define success if they win, like, winning-wise?
Getting the 8 seed, and then, like, between the people that I said, I'll just probably pick Oladipo and Turner to keep it short on the podcast, but, like, they fit cohesively, and they clearly have a way that the two long-term young guys can play well together and have a future and be good for the team would be the good way. Like, so, Oladipo and Turner kill it together and they get that 8 seed. That would be a successful season.
So then the other scenario of not successful, which is tanking, which I agree with you. Tanking is a mid-season thing, not necessarily a... I mean, you could do what the Sixers did. We don't know it agreed, but, like, mid-season, if they're not playing very well and they trade away some of their players, that might be a success. But is they win 20 games with the first pick, isn't that kind of a success too?
Yeah,
right?
It is. Yeah, getting good value for anyone they trade away during the season is a success.
So Thad Young is probably in that.
Any of the guys on a 1 year, so Collison, Bogdanovich, I guess Al Jefferson, but they're not going to be able to trade him for anything.
Al Jefferson's on his roster until they cut him next season.
Yep.
No, but unless they somehow, like, somebody, they try to trade someone, I don't know how Jefferson's off the team unless they package him with some good player.
Another success, and I'm never going to say this guy's name right, Enigbogu. Turns out to be okay. That would be nice. 47th pick.
Yeah,
he's,
true.
He's good. He could be good.
I don't trust second round picks until I see them.
I agree.
I mean, like, even really with Leaf, until I actually see him play on the court.
Literally, like, he fell from the Pacers' first slot to their second slot. Like, every single team was like, no, he's too injury prone. So
yeah. But when you have picks that are passed, like, it's like the lottery, basically, it's all hit or miss.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, you have to watch them play and see what they can do because, you just don't know because, like, it could be Kawhi Leonard, or they could be like Kawhi Leonard, Draymond Green, or they can end up being, like, I'm trying to think of the most recent Pacer pick that was
good.
Like a bad first round pick.
Ty Hansbrough.
Well, he was decent. I'm thinking, like, in the 20s.
No, he wasn't. He was fine.
Who did we pick in the 20s when we were decent? I can't even name
nobody.
Him. That's why. That's what I mean.
They traded most of their picks.
That's true. They traded most of their picks, but like
Scola West, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, like, that's what I mean. Like, you just don't know with some of the draft picks. I mean. You could get lucky and end up like a Draymond Green type player, but it's one in a blue moon. It's like it's almost hitting like the lottery, basically. But
back to tanking.
Yes, back to tanking. So yeah, like I said, I think if they won 20 games, it would be a success in its own right. Similar to kind of, I'm sure most Pacer fans are also Colts fans, similar to what the Colts did, where they decided they weren't going to win one year when Peyton Manning got hurt, went 2-14, got Andrew Luck. That was success. Yes, the season sucked, but...
So should we just say, like, top whatever, 3, 5?
Yeah, I think if they get a top 3 pick, that's a success.
That's a success, I agree.
I mean, they could get a top 3 pick by even being decent and winning the lottery. I mean,
best players are in 25, it's okay to be bad and get a play.
Yeah, so that's I want to go more on that, actually, because, like, that's always been a big issue people are talking about, like, basically, people don't want Pacers to tank, right? They're like, tanking is not good for a team, whatever. But is it tanking if they just decided to play their young players? Like, that's what really, that's kind of like a way to tank without tanking. So right. They just let Oladipo and Turner and even let Stevenson get into some starting position. That's what I mean. That's all I mean. It probably would be a risk.
Joe Young.
Yeah, you just let you don't let anybody basically over the age of 25 play any significant minutes.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, that might be a success in its own right. So
that'd be a nice second half strategy. That's why I want the schedule to come out. So I can figure out, like, okay, wow, we have, like, a really easy schedule until the All-Star breaks. They're for sure going to go for it or something like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think at the All-Star break, right, if they're probably 3 or 4 games of below 500 or up, they're going to be going for it.
They're
going
to go for it, yeah.
Because I think we both agree 35 wins is, like...
It's close.
...is going to be the 8 seed.
I think the Hornets are going to get 7 at, like, 500, and the 8 seed is going to be...
I mean, it's going to be them.
Anybody.
The Pistons are going to fight for it. Yeah. The Bulls are going to try to fight for it,
Magic.
I think. Yeah, it's going to be...
Pretty much anyone but the Hawks and Knicks, to me.
You think the Hawks really... Yes, the Hawks won't. They lost all their players. They won't be that good.
They have Schroeder and then nobody. Absolutely.
That's true.
Nobody.
All right, so let's move on from the tanking discussion. This is just getting me down on the Pacers. Cause I know we talked about this earlier, how this is not going to be that great of a season.
It's not going to be a successful season. There's no way either of those things happen, but we can't say that.
Yeah, I mean, more so likely, right, they win 27 games, get smack dab number 9 pick. And where they get nobody, so in a non-deep draft. Yeah, when we talk about Pritchard, we can go more into some of our gripes with that. So let's just go, like, by player. So I did this thing where I basically took the 7 main players that are probably going to play for the Pacers. I left Stevenson off just because... I was thinking more position by position, and I did them by serial rankings.
Mm-hmm.
You said what magazine? Slam magazine?
Slam, I think Slam. So. I
did
to
something
look at
like
that
it
now.
Earlier. So, going player by player, we'll just do. So we'll start with Darren Collison. Serial wise, I ranked him as a Cheerio. So,
okay. So
this fits perfectly, right? Because Cheerios is not your favorite cereal. It's like nothing special, but like.
But no one doesn't like it.
No one doesn't like it. And if you're hungry, it's a good thing. It fills you up. Like, it's not like a bad thing. It's nothing great. It's not your first choice. You're not going to go to the cabinet and say, I want Cheerios. But like, if you make it through cabinet and there's no more cereal left, Cheerios, there, you're going to eat them. Kind of thing. So, what are just some of your thoughts on Collison?
Cereal wise? Or like,
no, just basketball wise. That was the starter.
He's a fine, he's a fine player, he's a good stopgap guy. He will be great for helping anyone who needs to develop on offense, and he'll be the worst defender on the team. The second worst defender on the
worst
team.
Who's going to be the worst?
Bogdanović, absolutely.
Yeah. So are we both in agreement that we think Collison should just be traded, like, at the halfway point? We just don't think he should... Like, we don't like him on the team at all. Like,
I think Bogdanović
on this team
should be traded just because, like, if he's okay, like, they're going to keep him next year. They don't have another point guard. Corey Joseph's going to opt out, so they might as well just keep him.
So there's like nothing about maybe Joe Young coming up?
No, Joe Young sucks.
Okay.
Why did Joe Young get guaranteed this year?
It was like a very small contract.
It's a minimum, yeah.
It's a minimum contract.
But he's bad. He doesn't ever play well. He never plays more than 40 games. He never does that well.
Right, and Collison's basically there because they have not drafted a good point guard. They've never drafted a point guard. When's the last time they had a good point guard? I mean, Tinsley, right? I mean, unless you count George Hill. But like,
I thought George Hill was good.
But they didn't draft George Hill. They traded for, like, they've never actually been able to, like, develop a good
point. Did they draft Jamal Tinsley?
I don't know. That was way back. I'm thinking they did, but that could be wrong. I mean, like, I just can't think of a single time in the Bird era where you said the point guard. I mean, like, George Hill was good, but you never said the Pacers have that point guard they want. It's always been the position where everybody, the Pacers,
right,
are like, as fans, people are like, what are we going to do? We need to get somebody better. We need something this. Like, we've always sacrificed offense for defense or defense for offense in that kind of way. So,
who was your coaching dream that's not Brit or not McMillan, since that was on the notes thing?
Oh, I was thinking not coach. Well, I was just really not coaching dream, but I was just looking at previous coaches basically who, like, guys who haven't gotten jobs yet. And obviously, you find a guy with the Spurs, that's always a good guy to hire. And I'm not gonna pronounce this guy's name right, but At Torre Messina has been the kind of, he's been a Spurs assistant. He was with Pop. He was a European coach. Came over in 2014. I mean, if you're looking for the next Pop, maybe he's the next Pop.
But Mark Jackson, former Pacer, former coach.
I'm not a fan of Mark Jackson. I'm really not. I
understand people who don't like Mark Jackson.
And I'm going to say it's for basketball reasons.
Oh, for like when he played reasons?
No, for like, when he coached last year with the Warriors.
He was reasons. Good.
So, first of all, I think if we go back, we can look at it. That team underachieved that year, right? Because the next year that team won 67 games and they only won like 55.
56, yeah.
Right? So they underachieved because he clearly had the best point guard in the league and one of the best shooting guards in the league. So they underachieved, right? Maybe. Yes. You think in that chasm, right? In that loop, you think about it because like Steve Kerr got them to win 67 games and the team did not really change.
But I will say like they started the season, David Lee started over Draymond and stuff like that.
But like you still think...
He figured them out, kind
of. But you still think that team... Right, they were the 5 seed that year. I want to say like they were not even they didn't even have home court advantage.
No, Spurs did well.
The last year with Jackson, they lost to the Clippers in the first round of the playoffs.
Did they really?
Yeah, they lost in seven, and they
that's
didn't.
That's right. That's right.
And they didn't have. I think they were the 5 or 6 seed. So I mean, that's that. And second of all, the whole coaching staff thing and he couldn't get hit. Him in the front office, like, couldn't get along, and then he, like, isolated the entire coaching staff from the front office, and they were like, I mean, it just seemed like there was so much drama. Maybe in a second time around he does better, but, like, I think he was really good coach because he had some really, really, really good players. Because in hindsight, that entire team had 3 of the top 15 players in the league right now, right? Yeah. Draymond's made his one defensive player of the year, and he's made twice. Now he's made 3 straight All-NBA teams. Clay has made 3 straight All-NBA teams. Steph Curry was the best player in the league the next 2 years, so.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's the only thing to think about. I mean,
that is fair,
right? Because who's going to be coaching with the Pacers? He's going to make Miles Turner some great.
If he makes every shot that's taken by not Miles Turner a 3-pointer, I would be elated.
You think that's what Mark Jackson did with them, though? I mean,
kinda.
I think that's more. You hire any coach in the NBA now, he's going to say shoot threes, right? I mean, what coach is going to say I don't want to shoot threes anymore? Right? I mean, like it's the way the NBA is going.
Alvin Gentry.
All right, you're getting it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing.
I mean, I guess,
you're right. That's fair.
I mean, I
just thought he played for the Pacers, so it made sense because he also coached before.
Yeah, we know the love of Herb Simon and the team for bringing in Indiana guys. I mean, we were talking about it before. I mean, listing off just all the Indiana players. Like, what'd you say? You weren't surprised if at the trade deadline the Pacers make a move for Trey Lyles, a Arsenal Tech from Indianapolis kid? Because
there, I found the cereal boxes.
All right, let's get back to. So the next player on that ranking was Victor Oladipo, who I rated as Cinnamon Toast Crunch. For the only reason is because, so if you eat too much Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you feel sick, right? It's like it's a little bit of a...
It's too sweet.
It's really good when you have it, but if you eat like I've eaten a half a box of it or a full box of it probably before, and I felt sick after it. It's just so much sugar. Yeah. And that's the way Oladipo is kind of like... In doses, he's probably going to be really good, but if you give him the ball handling job for half the game, he's going to make a lot of turnovers. Right. He's gonna make a lot of mistakes. But I mean, when he's on, he's going to be awesome. I mean, I think Oladipo's got. I mean, he's a rare kind of athlete. He's really quick, and when he is playing really well, he's going to be really fun to watch. It's just going to be really frustrating to watch him make some really dumb mistakes, not hit a guy in the corner when he should, kind of thing.
Okay. Yep.
And then So I don't know what your views on Oladipo are. I know you went to IU, so you're.
I think he's fine. I think he's average at his position. I really don't have that much of an opinion on him.
What do you see as his best case scenario for this season?
He's the number one guy instead of Turner.
You think he puts up 20 points a game?
I think he could. I don't think he will.
You don't think he will?
No.
I think 16 to 18 is probably his average.
It depends. You have to like watch a game to make that
prediction
to know like what they're gonna do with Turner and Oladipo because they're gonna be the two competing to have 20 a game.
So you think they're gonna run a pick and roll with Oladipo and Turner?
Absolutely.
You think a lot? Probably the main offensive
play. Like every fifth play. Yeah.
So we have not enough faith in McMillan to think that. I'm gonna hate him.
We can all think it. I would hope he could.
I wrote Nate McMillan. Our hate Nate McMillan. What?
Hate Nate McMillan.
God.
Yeah, I would hope that would be the play. Or, like, the Spain pick-and-roll thing where you screen the back screen for the roller.
Yeah.
And just have Thad be, a floater in the lane there.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if there'll be a lot of also just with Turner's ball-handling ability and Oladipo to be fast breaks. So Oladipo gets the rebound and they run it quick or something like that. Makes them. I mean, I'm just thinking of like quick passing cross because they're both good, decent ball handlers. Not both good ball handlers. Decent ball handlers who have good shooting ability and can dunk the ball pretty hard in the lane.
Yeah. The whole offense should be actions with Bogdanović standing in the corner.
Oh, yeah. Bogdanović just sitting in that right or left corner.
The whole entire possession, game. Does he? Yeah.
Yeah, and the minute that ball is missed, he should run down the other court and guard the weakest defender.
I don't care if it's the center. Put him on the center.
Yeah, no, let him get back down. It's not going to bother him. So then, thinking of Bogdanović, so my next serial one for him was Lucky Charms. This is perfect, right? Because hit or miss.
Yep.
You like Lucky Charms, everybody loves the marshmallows. Everything else sucks, but Lucky Charms.
Totally sucks.
Nobody else has anything else, so.
If you get a marshmallow game from him, you're going to win.
I mean, I think there's a chance we could see him score 30 points in a game, one game, just because he hits so many threes, but there'll be a lot of games where we'll score under 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like you were saying, I mean, I don't think we beat it to the ground, but that he's going to stand in the corner the entire game and he's going to shoot threes. So then with Robinson, though, do you think they split time evenly? Like, I'm pulled in both ways because Robinson's just not as good an offensive player, but Robinson brings a whole nother athletic ability to the offense that Bogdanović cannot.
If we are playing the Chicago Bulls or the... Who else is terrible? Any terrible team, I think.
Magic, Knicks.
Yeah. Bogdanović will play more because his defense isn't as much needed.
Reliability.
Yeah, but if it's someone good where you need like a defensive guy, it'll be Glenn. I bet.
Yeah.
I need to watch a game. I hate like trying to guess.
I know. Just a warning to everybody that it's going to be a little slow podcasting for the next... We got 5 weeks until...
They only have 13 guys on the roster.
But when is training camp?
Like the beginning of September.
Right,
yeah,
so we're
far away.
We're like 3 weeks away from that, and then we're...
We have the schedule and two signings to get through 25.
Yeah,
days,
we're 5 weeks, I think, five weeks till preseason, seven till the season starts.
Yep.
God, it's going to be a long few weeks.
And there's a good chance they don't have a home game. Actually, they have a new court. They'll probably have a home preseason game.
That's true.
I don't know. I actually don't know. A lot of teams just don't.
Yeah, on that, most of the games in Europe or Mexico City or Canada, they just go all over the place because it's just a way to...
We can talk about that. Why didn't we think of that? That they didn't get any of the... Like, they didn't get a Christmas game or an opening week game.
They've never gotten any of those games.
And they didn't get the game in Mexico or London or anything like that.
Okay, they played in London, right?
Yeah, they
did. I remember watching that game. It was over winter break for me, and I was home, and I was watching the game, and I was like, it was garbage. They lost by 30 points. The Nuggets just ran them out of the gym. But they haven't played on Christmas since 05. That was the year they had the brawl. They had a good team back then. They played the Pistons. That's the last they played on Christmas, I think. And I don't ever them playing an opening that game unless they're playing
the opening. They released the first 3 days.
Oh, they're not the first.
It's like they gave Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
So I say the only way they play the opening day is if they play Cleveland somehow because Cleveland gets an easy home game to start of the season.
Yeah, they do.
But now
the fucking Knicks are playing on opening week and stuff like that. But whatever.
But the Knicks are a big fan base. And now it's a small market.
Third smallest in the league, baby. Yeah, okay, but we could say, no London game, unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know.
Yeah, they were pretty bad on them last year.
And it was a home game. It counted as a home game.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah.
Well, last year was that London weekend for hell for Indiana fans, because the Colts went there and they lost, Pacers went there and lost, something else went there. I think those were the two things that happened for
Indianapolis fans. I didn't know the Colts went there.
Yeah, Colts went there last year and just got beat around by Jacksonville, the worst team in football, so that's besides the point. So my next serial ranking was Thad Young. So I had Thad Young as a Fruit Loop, just because I'm not a huge... I mean, this is also kind of my preferences, but it's like a reliable, decent overall choice. You know, Fruit Loop is a good cereal choice, not your first choice, but it's good. It's always going to be reliable. It's not going to taste any different. It's going to be good. So Thad Young, kind of that way, where Thad Young is going to be 13 points a game and 6-7 rebounds, maybe. And that he'll be that consistently throughout the year in... Won't probably have anything higher than 25 a game, maybe, and probably won't be lower than 8 or 9 because he gets some very easy lay-in buckets. So I don't know what I mean. Do you think that Dennis Downs get traded? Right? I mean, if we're talking right, we're thinking he can get traded mid-season.
Yeah, hopefully he goes to. I tried to think of teams that would have a bad first-round pick and want Thad Young, like the Timberwolves or.
So where would he play for? So the Timberwolves, they would play. Towns, then him, Wiggins. Yeah, well, they're going up. Yeah,
and they have the Thunder pick. the Thunder first this coming year.
Oh, because we couldn't get that in our trade because God
forbid. It was on the Jazz had it, but yeah.
No, but God forbid the Pacers couldn't get a first round pick out of them. Because God
forbid. Or Doug McDermott or like.
Well, because God forbid if Tanner Pritchard said, hey, we want your 2019 first round pick, like top 14 protected, they were going to say no to getting Paul George because God forbid they already had that close. They weren't going to get that. Like,
I must totally undervalue what 1 year of a player means because I was like, what? I still.
Well, I mean, even if they got. The 2019 or whatever. I mean, I'm thinking like lottery protected, like that's something. Like, you could tell your family, hey, we got a first round pick.
Jeremy Grant got a first round pick.
Thad Young's gonna get a first round pick, and Paul George couldn't.
I hope
that
Thad Young gets a first round pick.
The Bucks are one.
For sure.
Out west, I mean, it would. I'm trying to think out west. So
anyone but the Nuggets.
So it depends where Memphis is.
Portland.
Does Memphis own their pick still?
Probably not. They trade them right, like Jeff Green and shit.
So
there's a thing for this. Future trade picks.
And then I'm thinking, I've read through that, the future pick things. I just can't remember.
I can't.
Memphis would be one of the teams I think they would do it.
Memphis would. I agree with that.
I mean, you need to keep going out west.
The Grizzlies are trading, or they have 2 seconds incoming in their 2019 versus going out.
So they can't trade their 2018
or 2020.
So they could trade
2021.
They're not gonna trade 21 because they're gonna be bad.
They'll be bad. The Heat. Nope. Never mind. They've
the Heat
all
their can't. Who else is gonna be good?
We got the Bucks. We got the Bucks and Timberwolves back to back. Those are good.
Raptors don't need it because they're gonna have Serge Ibaka.
Yep.
So they're not gonna need a after guy.
I was thinking about this randomly about Paul George. The Magic have to be so pissed. Like if they just waited a year, they could have traded Sabonis and Oladipo from their team to get Paul George. Like.
Yeah, but
now they have nothing to show for.
How Serge Ibaka has the same value as Paul George with one up from his deal.
I have no idea. Because Rob Hannigan's an idiot. He's the dumbest GM in NBA.
So you think that was just an overpay trade at that time?
Yeah, he was desperate to keep his job. Okay, the Magic. They have terrible power forwards. I guess no, they have Jonathan Isaac now.
Yeah, and they don't get the playoffs. They're not going to make the playoffs.
That's true.
And they're not going to want to trade away that 15th pick. And they trade the 15th.
The Blazers, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Do they have a first round pick?
They have a lot of seconds. No, they have
all
their
firsts.
So
what do the Rockets look like? They don't. The Rockets gave away all their stuff to Chris Paul, right?
No, the Rockets only gave away their this year, I thought.
So they could.
They could, but they have pretty bad power forwards.
Yeah, I mean, they don't really. They're playing Ryan Anderson
power
forward, right?
2018 first is traded.
If Thad Young proves he can shoot the three,
yeah, they could
he's the Rockets.
And they'll be good then. They'll have Harden through six more years.
They're gonna have, they're
that
gonna
could
pre-
be a good one.
They're going to have Chris Paul.
Right, we got four teams. We're good.
So I'm thinking Rockets. That's the one to look at. Because if that I'm gonna shoot the three, I think he could prove it. So then, the last one I did for my solo ranking, Miles Turner, I said Frosted Flakes. So
more than good.
More than good. That and so it's the kind of thing when you're in the mood, it's really good. But also, at times the cereal can dry out and become like cornflakes, which is never good. Which is Miles Turner. Miles Turner is like when he's on, can be really good. I mean, I think he shows potential of being one of the best players in the league at some point in his career. Other times he can't any shots, and it looks like he doesn't know how to shoot the ball, and he looks awkward because he has kind of a weird form. So it's kind of the thing where it doesn't go in, it looks like he's not a good shooter, but if it goes in a lot, it's like he's awesome. Yeah, I mean, he's the one guy that we're gonna want to talk the most about because the entire next season relies on him, right? If he is bad, the team's gonna be really bad. If he looks bad, it's going to basically kill the morale of any Pacer fan, right? Right now, the only thing holding Pacer fans on is Miles Turner might be good, right? Larry Bird said he could be the best player in the league, which is complete over-exaggeration to try to convince Paul George to stay. But, I mean, if he puts up, like I said, 20 points a game, that's the step. I mean, you go from 20 points a game to 25. That's like how these players progress. Paul George never did that, but
I don't think we'll get that high. I hope he does.
Well, so if he gets a 20 game this year, I think, and he, it depends how he decides to go. So does he want to become a traditional center and become a post player, or does he want to become one of like a stretch five and just become a massive 3-point shooter?
Oh, if he becomes DeMarcus Cousins without the locker room problems.
Well, if he became, he'd be the best. DeMarcus Cousins without the locker room stuff is a top five player in the league.
Well, that's
he puts up 28 points a game.
That's not unreasonable for him.
No, that's not. DeMarcus Cousins, but I mean, that's, I mean, it, Mark Cousins puts up 28 points a game and 12 rebounds. I mean, I have a fantasy basketball one here. I mean, the guy can't.
One of the best players.
One of the best stat wise in the league. So if Turner became Mark Cousins, he'd be top five in the league because Cousins would be top five if he.
Okay, maybe it's a little.
It's a little because DeMarc Cousins got a. It's just bigger.
Yeah.
Turner's a thinner.
He's kind of fat, honestly. He's just athletic for his weight.
Yeah, he also, I mean, Cousins is just has a very skilled, I mean, he's always been skilled down low. I don't know if Turner has that kind of touch that Cousins always had around the rim. Right. Cousins like has this ability to like bang things off really nicely and make moves that I'm interested to see what him and Davis can do together in some sense, just because I think there's like, I mean, you have Alvin Gentry the coach, so that's not going to happen, but if you had a really good coach, you could design some really interesting system where they're like Davis and Cousins are playing off each other at the same time when one has the ball.
If you put them behind the 3-point line, they could actually be good.
Well, because like they both have a decent enough ball handling skill, they could move it around each other and make good passes, and they're both huge, like going to be the biggest guys in the court. And I mean, like athletic wise and talent wise, they're two of the best players on the court at all times.
And they signed Rajon Rondo and ruined
everything. Well, Rondo will probably egg on Boogie and he'll ruin it all. But I'd say you just put Rondo on the bench and then be.
They're just like, in 2 years, they're just going to be all Kentucky players.
I mean, if that gets to John Calipari as a coach, might not be a bad idea.
Yeah. Maybe they have a plan.
So then. What do you want to? Let's go to Nate McMillan and just talk about him. I'm done with my cereal rankings. Those are my five. Like I said, Collison with a Cheerio, Oladipo, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Bojan, Lucky Charms, Thad Young, Fruit Loops, and Miles Turner, Frosted Flakes.
No love for Reese Puffs in there.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have fit on anything, man.
Yeah, I don't know what those fit, like, cereal-wise. Right. I like the cereal. I mean, it's a pretty good cereal. To be honest, I don't eat that much cereal anymore, but I just remember freshman year of college how much, because they have a whole wall of cereal in my dining hall. I used to, like, go through. That was like my progression. If I couldn't find like one thing, I would go to the next. Like that's where I got to Fruit Loops basically, because it's like the one I would like always. If I couldn't, they didn't have
nothing else there.
Sometimes they would be empty. It'd be like you go. If I went to eat breakfast at like 10, sometimes during a week it would be just empty, and I would have to eat that. But Nate McMillan, just if you want to sign off on him, go ahead right now.
Yeah, Nate McMillan, probably the worst coach in head coach in the NBA right now. Is this recording?
Yeah, still recording. I mean,
Nate McMillan, worst head coach in the NBA, doesn't know how to run an after timeout play, doesn't play lineups that are cohesive even though he can, doesn't do anything that benefits the strengths of any of his players, isn't particularly good on offense or defense. I have no idea why he got this job when they already had a good coach.
So does he have a job in a year from now?
I hope not. How long was his contract? 3 years?
Was it three? I didn't think he had. I thought he was just like promoted from assistant, so his contract stayed the same, whatever it was, an assistant.
I don't know how long it is. I should look that up, but
because I've tried looking for it, and I'm not able to find it.
Yeah, I don't know if that 3 years. Yeah, but okay.
It's 3 years, so it's so the problem is, like I said, I'm not sure our owner is going to want to go in.
They're already paying two coaches right now.
They're still paying Vogel?
No, one more year of paying Vogel, I think.
I thought Vogel only had last year. Vogel only had 1 year left on his deal.
He's done.
Because Vogel won an extension, that's why he left.
Yeah, king size sounds.
What? It's our identical difficulties.
Thank God.
So
Bleacher Report's out of playing ads. Yeah, 3 year deal for Nate McMillan.
But he's probably one of the lowest paid coaches in the league, I had to guess.
Oh, I hope so.
I mean, he was basically brought in so Larry Bird controlled the team, right?
I mean,
Larry Bird said it was for a change of voice, but like...
Where did he coach before? Sacramento, right?
So he's coached in Portland, Seattle. He's a George Carl disciple.
Oh, God.
I read that George Carl book over the summer.
Okay, here is all the head coach's salaries.
He's one of the lowest paid, one of the bottom.
Oh, I wish this is confusing. Indiana. There in the alphabet. Yeah, it just says 3 years. Dang, it's useless.
Yeah, you don't have to release coaching details, so I don't know if it actually would release them.
That's true. You don't have to release player details either.
Yeah, you do.
But they just find out from agents. They don't have to.
Oh, they don't have to release?
No.
That's seems weird.
But agents want people to know.
Yeah, because it helps their bidding process. Yeah. It's the whole bidding up contracts.
I used to wonder how, like, all those guys got their information like Shams and Waller and stuff.
Oh, they all know the agents. You don't know that?
Just text the agents.
Everybody that's a good NBA reporter is because they're friends with every agent.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm thinking like Brian Windhorst because he's friends with Maverick Carter. Maverick Carter and Brian Windhorst are like know each other. That's like they're like a Rich Paul, one of the two. They're like a good relationship.
That's how he got in the LeBron circle.
Because of one of the Rich Paul. Yeah. I mean, it's the same. I mean, it's why Brian Windhorst breaks every Clutch Sports deal, if you notice that.
Oh,
Bledsoe, I think he broke it. He broke Tristan Thompson. He broke, I mean, LeBron and everything that LeBron's
made. I don't like Brian Windhorst. He creeps me out. You wrote 3 books about the same guy.
I mean,
that's creepy.
I mean, if you could be him, wouldn't you want to be him, though? He's got some of the most best information, insider stuff there is.
I'm sure he knows where Kyrie's getting traded already.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking it's like Ramona Shelburne's the same way. I mean, she is locked in on the whatever. She was locked in on Rob Pelinka for a while. Yeah. Just helped with all the Laker stuff. I mean,
that'd be so fun. She's awesome.
Yeah, no. I mean, just that.
The kid in my fraternity's dad is Russell Wilson's agent.
So then you're getting the NFL.
That could be my one NFL source.
Getting the NFL back.
No, I don't like football at all. Okay, here we go. Bodybets.com, my perfect source for all coaches' salaries, has... Oh, wow, this is super old. This is Vogel listed as the Pacers.
How much did Vogel make?
$2 million, and he was tied for last with Budenholzer, Steve Clifford.
So I'm gonna bet McMillan makes 1.5.
Yeah.
Then. I mean, McMillan literally was brought in because they wanted a new voice. I need quotations there because I mean I don't really know what Larry Bird's trying to say.
This is 2016. This is that old. Okay.
And Larry Bird wanted control with the team, and he felt he couldn't control Vogel the way he controlled McMillan. But hopefully, by the end of the season, I said on a previous podcast, if the Pacers win 35, if the Pacers win 40 games, let's say, make the playoffs, he might win Coach of the Year.
Yeah, because
that was with you. Yeah, that was with you. Yeah. Because if you think about it, that's 2 less wins without Paul George, which is like significantly dropping a player to only win 2 less games. And that'd be almost scary because that means like McMillan becomes our coach long term.
Don't do that. That would be awful. Do they still have the coaching stats on B-Ball Ref?
I don't know.
Like the after timeout things. I don't remember where I used to
see. Oh, McMillan. I tell you, a coach is good. If you're ever watching an NBA game, the best way to tell if a coach is at least like half season is can he run a good out-of-bounds play?
Out-of-bounds play after a timeout.
I mean, it's like, that's a tell sign because the only ability coaches have really to control
Brad the game. Brad Stevens.
Well, that's why Brad Stevens is the best. Brad and Steve Kerr.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a story about Steve Kerr that he has like hundreds and he's just books of just out-of-bounds plays that he just like stacks. Like these giant binders of hundreds of plays in each.
Well, I thought I found what I was looking for, but it's the 2005-2006
season. A little back.
Where the Pacers were the 6th best team out of timeout. Sixth worst team out of
timeout. Wasn't Riccardo 5-06?
Sorry, that's defense. I'm an idiot.
Okay, I say 5-06.
Sixth best defensive team out of timeouts. And the 19th best offensive team. Yeah, that was Carlisle.
Carlisle's a pretty good coach.
He's a great coach.
Yeah, who fired? Oh, that's right. We fired Rick Carl. Larry Bird said he went to fire Rick Carl, too. Forgot about that.
Okay, this one's much more recent. This one will be better.
But you want to move on to Pritchard? Talk about Pritchard a little bit? Instead of talking, or do you want to keep talking about Nibby Millen? Because, I mean,
it'd be so bad.
I mean,
Pritchard, yeah, sure.
I mean, the only thing going for McMillan, though, is that sometimes teams play better without without egos. That's a thing. Like the, you know what I mean?
Players like player coaches. Too, I guess. Like former player coaches. Like the Suns love Earl Watson for some reason.
But I'm just thinking like I mean, I just we act like Paul George was a great locker room guy, but I don't think that was that great. I mean like I think David West was the best locker room guy.
George got the stick that he's a good locker room guy because he's on an extension we didn't have to.
But I don't know if he's great. I mean I just remember after that Cavs game where he says TJ Miles should have passed him the ball apparently TJ Miles just told him to F off after the game or something like that. And maybe didn't say that, but told him that that's not what he should be telling him about. So, I mean, there were rumors about that. I don't think Paul George is like, I mean, I just think Paul George tried to like act like he was a great locker room guy. But, I mean, if you watched any Pacers games last year, for the first 40, 50 games, it looked like he was slow walking his way through the season.
Yeah.
Because he was miserable and wanted to be in LA. You could just see it on his face.
He'll make it.
But he'll make it to LA. But I mean, now that I had a year of Westbrook probably just berating him into the ground, I really hope that's what happens.
Harder ball, baby, best for him.
I just really hope Westbrook just yells at him nonstop because Paul doesn't try very hard, he's gonna yell. I mean, if Westbrook will yell at Durant, who was like better than him, like a ton, I wonder how he's gonna yell at Paul George.
If he does triple double hunting, though, he'll love Paul George because he'll actually score.
But Paul George will hate himself.
Yeah,
because Paul George wants to be the star. Like, he wants to be the star of a big team. And that's, like, his goal. And he's going to get overshadowed by Westbrook, who won an MVP.
And then LeBron on the Lakers.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Paul George has always said about winning. I only care about winning. And clearly, that's not what he cared about. Because the Lakers stink. But let's move. Thinking of Paul George trade, let's just go into Kevin Pritchard while we're at it. I actually like Kevin Pritchard, to be honest.
Besides the Paul George trade, I think he nailed it.
See, I think the whole Paul George thing, I don't blame it on him. I think it was previous what happened. I think he was there when...
Was he there for the draft? Did he draft?
So he's been the GM for like 3 years, but like he's been a bird. So I don't... Yeah. I mean, I just think you got to give Pritchard a chance. I really like Pritchard.
Yeah, I think he... Like Collison's good.
Yeah, I mean, value. I think with what he was... he was given directive by the owner what they wanted, and he executed the plan, which was to become a decent... Try to win 35-40 games.
Uh-huh. I like that he used the non-guarantees to like... kind of get guys for more money for 1 year.
Yeah.
That was creative. That was cool.
Yeah, he shows some moves that if the team gets kind of good, he'll be able to make some true salary cap moves that will help them get better.
Well, Leaf's fine.
I guess. He's the best. I mean, he took the best available player, right? I mean,
yeah.
He didn't.
No one said Leaf like didn't deserve to be picked between 18 and 20.
Yeah, I mean, I know maybe as an IU fan, you're mad he didn't take OG Anunoby, but. All right.
His ankle and knee are just ruined.
But no, I think time will tell, obviously, like any GM, but we'll see how Pritchard does with the reins. I mean, it just depends what happens with some of the players and how they plan out, like Turner and Oladipo. I mean, we could all be wrong in 2 years and Oladipo becomes like this 20 point game scorer, and we're like, he made a great move by trading Oladipo for Paul George because now we have Oladipo for 4 years. It's a pretty decent contract if he's having that many points.
That's
so
true.
So I mean, I think Pritchard, I mean, he's not like he didn't hire McMillan, so we'll give him a chance on that. We'll see if we'll keep him, because I don't want this podcast to be us hating on everything about the Pacers, because I know we don't like McMillan, but I'm kind of a fan of I think Pritchard, you gotta give him a chance to see what he can do, because I mean, like with GM too, I mean, like, I don't know who they could have gotten better. I mean, not like GM or like these, at least they didn't like make a coach a GM, like, which is like one of the worst decisions to do in the NBA.
Yeah.
So
what's that guy they hired from the Hornets? What was his name?
Oh, I'm blanking on it.
Everything they did after they got him was good.
I mean, they've made some really good cap moves. I mean, they didn't tie themselves down for next year, basically. They can get out of everything that they want to, but if Collison ends up having a really good year, they can keep him for a pretty good deal.
Yep.
And so, I mean, they made some... I mean, I think they made some good moves, and I think he'll probably let McMillan go at the end of the season, because McMillan's not his coach and he'll want to get his own coach in. And once he does that, we can start judging him on that. And... You know, he will. I mean, who knows? I mean, if he'll probably get a 3 or 4 at least year window. That's usually how long these guys get.
And they'll get the Oladipo contract.
Yeah, well, I mean, also, I mean, Simon is not somebody that just likes to fire somebody right away. I mean, I think Bird had that Indiana great basketball thing that just kind of kept him at the GM position forever. Basically, he could have wrote his own check till he was done. But, I mean, I think Pritchard will give him 4 years, 4 seasons to see what he can do. And, I don't know. We'll see what happens, because, like I was saying, I just think he's made some shrewd moves that shows if the team gets kind of good, he can navigate the cap. Because I think he understands the cap better than Bird did. I think he understands some of the more nuances of the CBA in a better way. Because that's been his job. He's probably been the guy he was an assistant GM with. I think he was a GM for a little bit out in Portland, but that's kind of he's the guy under everybody. The guy right. He's assistant to every major GM. Like, he was assistant to Neil O'Shea before. He's been assistant to Larry Bird. He's been the guy to know all the little details. And so that sometimes makes a good GM, especially if you have a lot of training.
He got Corey Joseph for nothing.
Yeah, I mean, literally nothing. I think that was a great trade.
That's an awesome.
Because I think Corey Joseph,
big trade candidate.
Well, also, I just in locker room wise, he brings some of a different culture, probably a try-hard culture. I mean, the Pacers needed a culture shift, because last season was just such a bad.
Corey Joseph's been to the conference finals. Only guy on the team, I think, who's ever been to a conference final.
Stevenson's been to 2 conference finals.
Oh, wow.
I know you weren't thinking about that one.
I was not thinking about that one. Wow.
Remember, Stevenson was the third best player on a conference final team.
Stevenson was one of the most important players.
Stevenson was the third best player on a number one seed in the East. Stevenson outplayed D Wade for a solid 5 games.
People are like so mad that the Warriors are like a lock to win the title, but look how much the league can change in 3 years. Lance Stevenson was so good.
When has Devin Durant and Steph Curry proven they can be healthy for a full season?
Yeah.
Steph Curry's kind of proven it now, but like
they got it 1 year.
Kevin Durant hasn't played a full season since. I guess last year the Thunder already played, but he only played like 60 games that year. I mean, 60, 70 games. I mean, things can happen in the playoffs, and somebody if Curry or Durant got hurt, that everything changes. I mean, everything opens up. Because, I mean,
absolutely.
I'm not sure if Durant's hurt, that because the Warriors have such a weak bench that they aren't vulnerable at that point.
Nick Young.
I mean, right? I mean, like, so, I mean, I just wouldn't worry about it. I mean, like, with the league, if Kyrie gets traded, I mean, all these players are clumped together. But the East will be kind of, if Kyrie gets traded from the East especially, the East could be interesting to watch just because it could be really competitive basketball. Not necessarily great basketball, but really competitive games because all the teams are about the same level. Uh-huh. Which it might be like watching the Junior League versus the real NBA, but like the D League. But like, you know, it, I mean, like Boston obviously better, and so will, I mean, the Wizards and Toronto will be the best three teams, and Cleveland will be up there with LeBron. But like the next, I mean, I can't think of who's the fifth, I think the guaranteed fifth best team in the East is at this moment.
Maybe the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Bucks. Maybe. Maybe the Heat, depending on if they make. I mean, if he trades for Kyrie, right? I don't think they're gonna do it. I don't know how they. I don't know how financially they can do it, but I mean, they're right. I mean, they have to trade Goran, and they don't have any first round picks. So.
Justice Winslow being it for sure.
Yeah. Can we talk about Kyrie for 5 minutes?
Sure.
I know there's nothing relevant to the Pacers, but So I don't think Kyrie's gonna get traded.
I don't either.
I mean, right? What pressure are the Cavs under to trade Kyrie? Right? Mm-hmm. They own his contract. He can't. He doesn't have no trade clause. What pressure? They have him for 2 years. Like, what's he gonna say? I'm not gonna play basketball for 2 years.
That was so funny when he made the list of teams he wanted to go to. I'm like, you don't have no trade clause. Yeah.
I get it. It's become a players' league, and I like it from the player league because they should have more power. They're controlling everything. The ownership, but like. He has no power. I mean, I'm sorry, Kyrie has absolutely no control unless, like, it's not like Dan Gilbert has ever cared what players think of him. He literally wrote an entire letter about how much he hated LeBron, and LeBron still came back because, I mean, LeBron came back for not Dan Gilbert, but.
I don't think he gets traded because I think that the best thing the Cavs could do is just run it back, try to win the finals one more time, and then if LeBron leaves, just trade.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sold on LeBron leaving either. Just because, I don't know. I mean, he can probably do it because he can probably justify it by Gilbert, but.
They have a guy who's been to the finals 8 years in a row. Like, they're not going to blow up his team.
No, and plus, what happens? I mean, what happens if LeBron starts to fall off a cliff a little bit? Like,
it has to happen eventually. I've said that every year since
I
was
18. I've also been saying that about Brady for 5 years, and that's never happened, so, I mean, we don't know what these guys are taking anymore.
He's 40 now, and he's still going to be the best.
But so yeah, that's all. I mean, I think we're in agreement. I don't think Kyrie gets traded. I think it was I'm mad about it.
I wanted to because I love that stuff. But I don't think he will.
Well, because it was keeping the NBA conversation alive because it's been very dead since about
the NFL summer. Finally got its summer takeover this week with Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, and the preseason started. That helped. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the NBA is there's not a better time to be in the NBA. I mean, they control the summer. I mean, I can't remember a summer where the NFL didn't win out.
Yeah,
and really, the NBA was in control from. I mean, like I guess the finals didn't go that long, but I mean, it seemed like the NBA was in control all season.
Great, it was good.
I mean, from about April on, it's with the NBA finals because it was either are the Warriors going to go 16-0 in the playoffs? Are they going to run into the Cavs kind of thing? I mean, I think it worked out. I mean, I think it worked out for the NBA pretty well. Is there anything else you want to hit on? I think we're going.
Not really. I haven't thought of anything. We haven't said Joe Young or TJ Leaf's name yet. So
you want to talk about TJ Leaf?
Those are two guys that are on the team.
Oh, you're talking. You're still worrying about the 14th and 15th roster spot. See,
I don't. Yeah.
See, I think for people like us who are very nitty gritty in it, but I'm not sure like anybody outside like the 15 Pacer writers we follow and know anything about it or care about.
There's no one in Pacers Twitter, but
there is. There's like a good 10 people. We all follow them.
Pretty small,
right? I mean, it's like. It's like the Miller Time podcast. Caitlin Cooper's, you follow her.
Tom.
I mean, I know you follow Grant Ashloff.
Grant.
That's four. Ben. Hunter.
Kind of Hunter.
Yeah, Ben, kind of, because Ben get kind of political and stop talking about sports, which is, I mean, depends what you view. I don't really want to discuss it. Hunter, pretty funny. I mean, you're a good follow up. Anything else, Pacer Twitter?
Everyone from Cornrows is good. And then Jared Wade.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we could talk about also that Nick Taylor left the Indy Stars, so he's no longer.
Yeah, who's gonna replace him?
That's what I'm wondering.
I should apply for that job even though I'd never get it.
I graduated in a year, maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
No, because before when Candace Buckner left, it was like Nate, like there was some, he was already in place, but yeah.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything. People keep tweeting at Nate Taylor asking how it's gonna be. No one knows.
I'm trying to think. I mean, those are like that's basically Pacers Twitter, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess you could go with like David Deering. I mean, some of the Indy, the 1070 guys, but they're all sports, not just Pacers. I mean, Mike Grady. Grady's a good Pacer follow.
Yeah.
And Grady. Maybe Mike Grady will be the.
I can't think of anyone right now.
Maybe Grady will get the Indy Star job.
This is embarrassing. I literally can't think of anybody.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I fall. I mean, a lot of times the Miller Time is the one detaining. And then
they're just hilarious recently. They're on fire.
Yeah. They're really funny. Well, they, They're just they've been doing a really good job. And whoever's running their Twitter, I guess, is it who's running their Twitter?
John
Fillet, was that his name?
Yeah, LaFoye.
I don't know how to say it, but he's awesome.
There's two of them. I don't know what the other one. I forget the other guy's name.
Oh, I follow them both.
It starts with a J also, I think.
I'll look it up once I get into my phone.
They both work for Nuvo.
But they've been great.
Yeah, they're cracking me up this summer.
But, so then, what were we talking? We were on something
Pacers
else.
Pacers Twitter. We did lose the Indy Star replacement.
We were on something else. You want to talk about TJ Leaf.
TJ Leaf?
Yeah, I got on TJ Leaf and then I took you off
again. I'm worried TJ Leaf's not going to play at all this year because that Young's going to start and Sabonis is probably better than him already. And then I'm sure they'll play together.
We actually talked about Sabonis either, so let's hit those two.
And Coop talked about that too. I'm totally with her on the play Sabonis at the back of five, whatever. But like if they go small ever, TJ Leaf's not going to be a part of it because he's like the fourth best big man and I just don't think he's going to play, and his skills aren't good enough to be a stretch four because he sucks on defense. And
so I think he could be a really good scoring player, like scorer. I don't know.
I want to see him shoot an NBA three
I mean,
enough.
Actually, after they drafted him, I like watched a bunch of his UCLA highlights. I think you watched the highlights, so you saw his good plays. But, I mean, he's a really skilled offensive player. I mean, he's got – and so, like, I don't know how that translates into the NBA when you can't play defense. I don't know how athletic he is. But he can score, and I mean, there's always a place for a three-point shooter in the NBA. If you're a good three, I mean, Bogdanovich is playing, but like, is that his ceiling? Is that maybe
Bogdanovich? Yeah, if he sucks at the three, he's not an NBA player.
But if he becomes Bogdanovich, is that necessarily like a bad thing? Like, Bogdanovich is not a great player, but he's a role player. He can become your.
Well, like I feel like it's more likely he becomes like a
no name that you don't care about.
Yeah, no one you even know about.
He ends up stuck in the Mad Ants for 2 years and then you never hear about him again.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Joe Young, basically.
Exactly.
People love Joe Young. There's people that just like love Joe Young. I think he can be like.
I love the Mad Ants. That's the best D-League team name.
That's amazing. No, but there are people out there that like, because Joe Young played good in that Warriors game a couple years back, he could be a starting
player.
Yeah. Like just Pacer fans. I'm not talking about like the respected media people. I'm talking about just.
I completely forgot about that.
Just Pacer fans that are like, Joe Young's good. We should play Joe Young. Sabonis, I guess, right? Sabonis was good from three for a little while last season, then he just kind of fell off a cliff.
Yeah, I wrote about that when I did the
right. Didn't Zach Lowe claim that he cursed him? You ever hear that on his podcast?
I did not hear that.
Zach Lowe said he claimed that he asked him after a press conference, one of the games, he asked him, Sabonis, you're shooting so well on three, something like that, and then like the rest of the season, Sabonis didn't hit a single three.
After 20 some games, he was shooting 50%
from three.
And it was something nuts.
And Zach Lowe said he asked him about it, and then after that, he stopped shooting threes well.
I was going through the game log, I was like, damn, he was really good. Like, so, if he's even a shadow of that for a while, that's a good player.
So, I mean, if he ends up being well, is there a chance? Like, there's a chance, right? We just trade Thad Young at some point and make him starting.
Oh, no, I think you have to trade Thad Young.
See, so Thad Young, I guess right now Thad Young should be packing up his house. Or maybe, I don't know what he owns.
No,
I'll
keep him for now, I bet. I mean, they signed guys who fit the Thad Young timeline of like 1 year.
Wait, Thad Young has this year next year on contract?
He has that player option.
Oh, for 12 mil?
13.5 He is probably exactly worth that, so I have no idea.
No, I don't know. The way the NBA went, there's obviously, I'm not sure any player's going to opt out next season.
I know.
Money dried out.
No money. And his skills aren't worth a lot, but he's good. But he'd probably opt in, so that's another.
I mean, if you look at it, there are 20 teams that are above this, that are above the.
The tax almost.
They're above the salaries and that lags your death threshold, that 20 million range, whatever, where you don't have to get paid tax dollars, you can't.
But that's kind of why a team would want to trade for him, too, because, like, the Bucks, like we talked about, or the Rockets, like, they're over the cap, so they can't sign anybody next offseason. So if he opts in, it's like they signed Thad Young, you know?
Yeah. So wait, is his option next season or the following season?
Next season.
Oh, so he's got one.
This is his last guaranteed year.
Okay.
I guess it's up to him.
No, he's opting in for sure next year.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't pass at 13. I mean, that's a lot. I mean,
I just don't know any team that's like, we need to pay $14 million for a...
So maybe teams won't trade for Young because of that. You think that's a possibility?
Yeah, but he's good. I don't know. His value's not very good, or not very high. His value is less than it was when the Pacers traded for him, which is such a classic Pacers problem to have. But I don't think they can get the 20th pick for him, and they give up a first and a second.
Right.
Don't forget that. If they don't make the playoffs this year, they lose their second round pick. We haven't talked about that either.
Yeah, but those are like,
I guess. Yeah, but it could be good if they don't make the playoffs. It's a good second round pick.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that.
It's gone.
Right? How much do those sell for? $3.5 million, right?
Yeah.
Basically, they lose. I mean, like I said, second round players are so hit and miss, right? How much? I mean, there's been one good second round pick in the past like 10,
And the Pacers love to have a second round picks on their roster. Joe Young, EK, Rakeem, Christmas, Niang.
Did Rakeem go undrafted?
No, the Cavs drafted him.
And they made Ridley. Sold him. Well, actually, Glenn Robinson's second round pick as well.
Glenn Robinson's second round pick. Yeah, they have a lot of second round picks on this
team. I mean, the Pacers have always done a decent job of finding some random talent. I mean, Stevenson's second round pick, sorry. Random talent guys. Robinson and Stevenson are two guys they found that like people thought just weren't going to be good, and at least they're decent.
Yeah, well, wasn't Glenn Robinson a throw-in in the Danny Granger trade, or did they sign him? I don't remember.
It's one of the two, but it was one of those things where like people thought he wasn't good still, and they Stevenson was the kind of guy that they took a flyer on because Stevenson out of college was nobody liked him.
Robinson he was, didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean Stevenson just out of college was a mess. He got in trouble for domestic violence and a couple other things, I think. So
Cincinnati's close enough to Indianapolis. We'll call him an Indy guy.
Yeah, he's probably isn't he from New York though?
Yeah, originally.
So I think he went to UC because as long as he could go, they allowed him to be kind of the way he was.
But, maybe so.
I mean, maybe Stevenson reverts back to 2012-13 no, Stevenson.
No.
All right.
I
think he might like something about the Indianapolis air. It's the thick humidity and the cornfields just get him, like make him all powerful.
I want to sound like right. Like I want to be happy through the season and let Stevenson.
See,
starts,
I'm a,
so I'm right, but I also want the Pacers to be good.
I'm an optimist. You have to be an optimist. I mean, know. Like.
Optimistically,
I'm not CSA Stevenson. I'm not claiming here he's going to have 20 points a game, but he could be a decent player. Gets back here.
In our Slack, we were talking about Lance Stevenson, and everyone's like, "Oh, I don't know if he could steal minutes from like Bogdanovich and Glenn Robinson."
So
I'm like, guys, he was bad.
So you think Stevenson would play small forward if they got a chance? I mean, right?
He played two, right? They don't have any twos.
Yeah, but he's like 6'6", so he would play backup small forward on Paul George's defensively.
Yeah.
He used to be the guy that guarded LeBron.
Well, like, they're going to use a roster spot on it, too, I'm hoping.
So, like, there's a lineup out there where it's, let's say, it's, like, Ulman Depot, Lance, Robinson, Thad Young, and Turner. And that's, like, a defensive lineup that they actually could play defense on.
Yeah.
Switch seamlessly to some extent. Thad Young, I guess, would be the – I mean, Turner's better in space. He'd be okay, but Thad Young's probably the weak point on that defensively. But that's a lineup they could do. I could see them playing.
Or EK and Miles Turner.
So you're saying he's going to get minutes.
I really think EK might be the best rim protector on the team. He was so good at UCLA.
But he'll get minutes over TJ Leaf.
No,
you said
TJ
won't get any minutes, but somehow EK will get minutes all of a sudden. Right? I'm like,
nice.
That's a legitimate lineup I could see out there. I could see a Stevenson, only Debo point guard, Stevenson a shooting guard, Robinson a small forward, technical power forward, and Turner a center, and they switch everything on defense, and then maybe they try to sub in on, they do that old thing the Cavs are doing, sub offense defense every 10
every time
court.
They can, yeah. It's
They're
not
just,
a bad plan.
And just try to sub in Bogdanovich or Robinson every time.
Collison.
Because Ulm Depot proves that he can become a ball handler, which I don't think he's ever proven, but if he could be like a half decent ball handler, he could become, play the point guard for a little bit. They let Monte Ellis play point guard for a while.
Everyone had like an outcry last year that the Thunder didn't use Oladipo as the backup point guard when Russell Westbrook was out. They might as well try it.
Yeah, I mean, remember, we did let Monte Ellis play point guard for a while in a lot of games with George Hill. And then, yeah, so, I mean, there's that. So clearly McMillaners. I mean, because, remember, Vogel got fired, but the entire coaching staff stayed intact. So nothing really changed except for the head honcho. So, I mean, they clearly have that ability. And, I mean, I think Larry Bird, like, praises Dan Burke for his defensive coaching, whatever. He's one of the assistant coaches. So I bet he's trying to figure out how he can get Ulm Depot and Stevenson on the court at the same time because they're, I mean, Stevenson for his flaws is a decent athlete and a pretty good defender sometimes when he's locked in and he's not blowing LeBron's ear.
That's his best.
Well, that's what he was. That's why he was so good on the old Pacers because he was locked in on defense.
Paul George didn't have to guard the best player.
Well, and the way they played is they ran, so you could play up on guys because you just run the defender into Roy Hibbert.
Yeah.
So like Paul George could play on LeBron because as soon as LeBron beat him, Roy Hibbert would be at the rim. The one time the Pacers took out Roy Hibbert, Paul George did the exact thing, and LeBron won that playoff game 3 years ago in that first Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, that strategy was just play up on the guys because Roy Hibbert was such a good rim protector. I mean, guys could not score in the lane. You could watch point guards come to the lane, Roy Hibbert would just swat the ball out of the way.
That's what I'm hoping EK can be.
Or Turner. They like Turner's blocking ability. I mean, Popeye Jones is the guy coach. Hey, Popeye, that's one of the assistants. He's the one. He's the big center.
D. Burke and him.
D. Burke's the defensive guy, but Popeye's the center developer, sort of, I think.
Oh, really?
He's like their...
I didn't know that.
I think he is. It was Brian Shaw for a while, but I think it's Popeye now is the guy that develops the centers and power forward zone. Maybe Turner will get in there and swat some shots. I don't know. Overall, I think you sound like you have a depressing view of this year. I know, and it sort of hit you today.
I had like a sad thought too, because all the time I'm like, man, they could use a combo guard with their last roster spot, and they had Monte Ellis, who's a combo guard. I mean, he's terrible, but they need a depth combo guard, and there you go. You could have had one.
Yeah, I guess Monte Ellis wouldn't have been that bad on this roster, right? The problem is they would have had, what, four shooting guards at that point? They got Stevenson, they got Oladipo, they had Monte, they would have had Collison there, Joseph. Like, that's like way too many.
I would
say
that's the position they have the least of.
So what do they have? They've got two point guards and two...
Three. Young.
No, I'm sorry.
Three point guards.
I'm sorry. The Joe Young was going to play the Mad Anthem of the season. So they've got four guards, right? Yeah, Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
But you said Joseph's going to opt out.
They have a ton of post players.
I mean, you have to look at the team. They're gonna try to win 40 games, and Monte Ellis doesn't get you that way. But Joseph is better.
That's true.
Makes you better. Collison makes you a little better. Stevenson, we don't know, but he's cheap, so who cares? And Oladipo makes you better theoretically.
Yeah, all right, that's fair.
And we talked about the beginning, like a success for this team, like owner wise, Herb Simon, what's going to be a success is winning 38 games, getting two home playoff games, making a little bit of money. That's like his goal.
It's his MO. Yeah,
right.
I'm more depressed every time I talk about the roster.
Well, you were talking about the Pacers for the next, you know, what's it, August? So
2 months.
Well, you're talking about, we did this for 2 months, and you have to do the season for the next six.
Yep.
So you better get used to that.
But I can talk about.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Pacers podcast today. As always, the Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is one of the best ticket aggregating sites around. It is one of the best places to buy sporting tickets, sporting events, concerts, and more. And remember, use the promo code LOMBA to get a great discount on your tickets. There'll be more Locked On Pacers podcasts coming this week and the rest of the season, off-season at least for now. Once the season starts, there'll be, like I said, a daily Pacers podcast with some updates and stuff like that. Stay tuned, of course, to this channel to hear more information about what's going on during the season. Also, if you can, follow us at @LockedOn_Pacers. Get some great information on the Pacers and a great follow. I'm trying to blow that up. For now, have a great morning, evening, or afternoon whenever you're listening to this wonderful podcast.